This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What's up, donkeys? Happy Monday. Junkies back with you live on 106.7 The Fan. You can check us out on the TV side on NBC Sports Washington. We are presented by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team today. We thank you for tuning in this Monday morning, August 15th, 2022. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville.
Hello, Ricky. Good morning. Good morning.
And look who's back. It's Eric Carlton Bickle.
What's up, buddies?
Longest Junkies vacation ever.
I mean, I would borderline call it a semi-retirement. I mean, you take 2 weeks off consecutively. Now, this is speaking from a place of jealousy because I've only done this around Christmas time. I mean, it's a great bit right in the middle of the dead zone of summer. It's an amazing bit.
I've done it a few times. It's hard for me to vacation in June and July. August really when I can do it, but I highly recommend it.
Yeah,
I mean, waking up this morning at 4:30 was painful.
Well, of course.
It's incredible what being on vacation and just relaxing and not having to worry about work, how well you sleep.
Sure.
It's incredible the impact it has on you.
Of course.
Your body just relaxes. You just sleep great, and then you sleep in. This doesn't matter.
Here's a bulletin. Working, bad for you. Bad. I mean, outside of like getting a paycheck and being able to maintain your lifestyle and live in your home.
Yeah.
Waking up and going to the grind. It's just bad for
you. No, you know, it's way better.
All over bad for you.
I think that's been disproven, Cakes.
Well, not in my life.
At least for older people. To live a longer life, you want to stay working as long as possible because you engage with people. I know you're anti-people.
I fundamentally disagree with all of those studies.
No.
That's just me personally.
I like being engaged with people. In fact, this last weekend, I was at Ocean City just for a few days watching my son play lacrosse, and he was with his boys. They stayed next to Secrets. They were out getting hammered all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I was alone. I was at the Fenwick Inn. And it's a pretty hollow existence when you're at the beach by yourself.
Should have called Valdez. He might have come down and spent some time with you.
I was wandering up and down Coastal Highway just trying to find bars that weren't overly crowded where I could sneak in and just kind of sit there alone on my phone.
That is terrible existence.
I mean, I don't mind having an occasional meal by myself,
but I can't go out. Like, you're going to go to the bar besides having food?
I mean, I'll go to the beach during the day, and then for the evening, I'm looking for a bar restaurant. Yeah, I would Bull on the Beach. I watched the White Marlin open. All the boats come in.
Now you're speaking Valdez's language.
By the way, shout out to Danny Goff, Demathograd, part of the team that won the $4.4 million prize.
Are you kidding me?
No. Tommy Horsecamp's boss, Danny, won. He had 20. Well, I don't want to say what he had. He had a piece of the $4.4 million
Sounds
prize.
Like he had about 20% from the slip of the tongue. That's a healthy chunk.
Not for me to say, but.
Sounds about 800 large.
They got four or five of these guys. They enter it every year. In fact, Tommy told me, I think it was last year. I don't even know where they hold it. They won the Blue Marlin Open.
Man, they're killing it with the
Marlins. Is that the one where Michael Jordan comes down every year?
Yes.
But Jordan was in Ocean City for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
People kept sending us pictures of him.
He's the most famous person to ever be in Ocean City. Michael Jordan. How could it not be?
I think Trump's been down there. Because I think Trump's been rumored to have bought real estate down there.
Okay. Well, I would still put Jordan ahead of Trump, but that's a big name, too.
That's a pretty big name.
Yeah.
But, yeah, incredible just sitting there, watching the boats come in. Of course, I did my fishing trip in the Outer Banks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And survived.
Much to your disappointment, no seasickness.
Saw you caught a nice size fish.
That was a miracle. Let me tell you.
You lockboxed your way into it.
Let me tell you what a miracle that is. First of all, do you want to introduce the guys? I want to introduce the guys so they can be formally introduced. But
well, I got scolded for introducing John the intern last week, so cares.
You did? Did JP get scolded?
He wasn't scolded. Valdez had a problem with John the intern, who are now calling Lindsay John, I believe.
Oh. I mean, he's had
his new name now? What
he's
happened to Lindsay John?
Pat
he's
King. He's got a billion names.
Pat King was very short-lived. I mean, he had a 1 or 2 day run.
Is Lindsay John not worthy of an intro? Is that what it is?
Valdez doesn't believe so.
I don't believe so. I don't think he should be introed.
Okay. Well, everybody knows Valdez. Everybody knows Drabby. Just wanted you guys to feel a part of it. Want to hear you chiming in.
To be honest, we're not feeling intros from us.
What do you mean? Oh, you don't even want to
be
intro'd
anymore? Yeah. We don't want to be intro'd.
They want to be downplayed.
Well, that's fine, but I want you to pot the mics up. You can't just do the show behind, you know what I mean? Because I want you to chime in.
Oh, we have no problem talking.
Yeah, okay. So everybody wanted me to puke when I was in the Outer Banks and we did our fishing trip. And we were out there, and I'm telling you, we caught all our little bait fish. I don't know what they call them, like croakers or whatever they were called.
Yeah. They throw the net out and then they pull it off. I don't know how they did it there.
We didn't do it. No, you gotta fish. No,
you have to fish before you fish.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're bigger than the ones that.
Yes.
I don't know. They weren't that huge. Okay. But we were going out there. We're catching all our bait fish. By the way, everyone caught one except for me. Shocker. But that's fine. We had plenty. Took about a half hour, 45 minutes. And then they take you to the other part of the water, whatever. We weren't on the ocean side.
Might have been like the inlet.
I guess, but it was pretty wavy and a storm came in. We had to get off the water for a period of time.
Outer Banks.
Yes. And so we get back out there. We're hitting spot after spot. I'm a little bit bitter at the captain because he's sitting way up on the top of the boat, Captain Andy.
Okay.
And he's not really fraternizing with us. We're just talking to the mate.
Okay.
And the mate was great. But I'm like, how come the captain who we're paying all this money to is not really? And then I realize he's on the phone. And he's buzzing all his other buddy captains, and they're giving each other intel where the fish are, because you want your clients to be happy and find fish. So he's working the phones like a mug.
How big is the vessel that you're on?
I think they said it was like 36 foot.
Substantial.
I mean, it was a good,
it's pretty big.
It was a real fishing boat.
Yeah.
This guy tells me eventually that he's been fishing there since he was 15 years old. Okay. He's about our age.
Right.
I mean, he knows every body of water.
He's a fishing grinder.
He's out there 7 days a week. They do 3 charters a day.
Hold on, you're telling me he doesn't take 2-week vacations in the dead of summer?
No, I think he does in the winter.
Probably winter, okay.
In the winter.
Slow season, yeah.
But we're out there, we're going at one spot, and you could tell, after about 20 minutes, all right, reel him in, let's go, because we're not catching anything. We're not catching jack. And by the way, it is wavy, but I think everything's working. I'm just drinking my ginger ale.
Okay.
Getting a little bit nervous about it, but everything's fine.
And you had a lot of stuff that came in. I don't know what you ultimately used. You had Tailgate Ted sending you stuff.
No, I used bracelets.
Wristbands.
I used the bracelets that I got at, what's the name? What's the REI.
Okay.
And I used the Bonine, which is this, similar to Dramamine. It's supposedly a little less drowsy.
Okay.
And that seemed to work.
And did you do the no drink the night before deal?
I drank until like 3 p.m.
Before you didn't.
No, that week I was a legitimate alcoholic.
You're going hard.
All 7 days, hard, starting at noon, every day.
That is intense.
Every day.
That's
I came
lot.
Home immediately detoxed. Immediately. Didn't have a drink for 5 days. I needed to. But we were out there. I was getting a little bit disappointed. Everybody was being fine because they had caught some little fish, but we hadn't caught anything significant. And here we are. We're entering the fourth hour. We've gone to like 4 different spots. And nothing.
Is it sunny and hot, just beating down on you, or is the weather good?
It has a little area where you could be in shade.
So is it enclosed?
So we were fine. Okay. And, my son's pounded beers, and my daughter's boyfriend's having beers.
Your son apparently doesn't care about getting seasick, or he's not that worried about it.
He put one of those patches behind his ear, but then halfway through, he felt emasculated. He took it and threw it in the water.
Good for the environment.
It's a lot of water out there, cakes.
But to make a very long story short, out there for 4 hours. And finally, it just looks like it's not going to happen. And the captain literally says, all right, guys, you know, I'm sorry. We tried our best. Reel them in. And we had like six, you know, we got them everywhere. I got the poles out everywhere. We reel in all the very last pole. All of a sudden, the mate, I think his name was Wyatt. I can't remember. He said, wait a second. I think we got something.
Uh-oh. Got a bite. Got a nibble.
Literally. I'm not. You think this is like a movie.
Sounds like a setup.
Kind of like it was already on on the pole.
Did it have scuba gear?
I think he saw him cast that rod. It was no setup. And he tugs on it a little bit, and you see something, and then I happen to be the guy right next to him, and so he goes, here you go, buddy.
Right.
And I go, S. Because we did have one close call. About an hour earlier, my daughter's boyfriend had one, and he had it all the way up to the boat. And then the captain said, because his technique was a little bit hurting,
right?
He was lifting the rod up too much.
Captain stabbed and said, "No bueno."
And that he lost all the leverage, and that we literally could see the fish, and the fish popped off right in the boat, just like Wicked Tuna. So bitter. So he hands me the rod. And so I guess what we were fishing for, what they call them drum fish. Some people call them redfish. I don't know if it's the same thing. But there's a limit. It has to be between 18 and 27 inches. If it's over 27 inches, then it's like, I guess it's like full of babies or whatever, and you got to throw it back in.
Okay, right.
Okay. So they're like, that's a big one, but we'll measure it when we get it in.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm reeling it in. The damn reel breaks. Okay, literally breaks. And so it's like, it's barely working, battling the fish cakes for a total of maybe 5 minutes.
Feeling so primal.
We get it up to the boat, and I'm telling you, I would have done what my daughter's boyfriend had done if I hadn't seen him muck it up.
Sure.
I would have lifted the damn thing up too, but I kept it down. Yeah. I kept it down tight, pulled it up, and then they pulled a net in.
Yeah, the mate.
The mate pulled the net in. I popped it in the net, and then we got him. It literally measured exactly 27 inches.
Nice.
Very good.
They call them a drum fish. Do you know what a drum fish is? You ever heard of that?
That's what we were primarily catching in South Carolina. Yeah, same sort of fish.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Can you eat those?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you catch your dinner?
Yeah, we did. Except we needed some chicken too because it was, I had 18 people or whatever in my house.
Yeah, so you needed more than one fish.
I mean, 27 inches, pretty good size fish. But when they fillet it and everything, there's not that much left.
Right.
So, yeah, it was awesome. Nice. Totally dug it.
Nice takedown.
Yeah. But we only got one. Like, when you went, you got a bunch?
It's hit or miss. So, some of the trips, we would bring in three or four. Others, it would be like one.
Did the mate yell out, fish on?
No. But he did say, oh, I think we got something here.
Right.
And then he handed it to me, and, you know.
That does sound like a setup. It's right at the very end.
All right, that's a wrap, everybody. Yeah. Bring it in.
I don't know how you could set it up.
Oh, wait. What's that over there? We got something.
There he got the fish on the hook.
I saw him cast it. Trust me. I saw him cast it. But
it's
whatever.
Fixed
it was
like
awesome.
A Harlem Globetrotters game.
He said, they tell you when you book, when they book the trip, they tell you. You know, no guarantee, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
Did you tip the captain?
I had to tip. Yeah, I tipped $150. I didn't know what to do. And he said, just tip like you would a restaurant. So I said, okay. And I gave him $150.
Yeah, that seems about right.
I guess it is. And they really pressure you. They don't say anything.
That's an expensive boating trip.
Oh, yeah, they're expensive.
Somebody had written in like charcoal or something on the dock. It says, mate lives off tips or something like that.
They want to get that message across.
So they got, you know.
Now, it's expensive, but it's much cheaper than buying your own boat. Trust me. It's much cheaper to hand over the money and not have all of the expenses
of
a boat.
And honestly, it was such an enjoyable time, even though like for 3.5 hours, we really only caught bait fish. It still was so much fun and unusual for us. I would do it again. You know what I mean?
Oh, those trips are great.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure now I've started a new tradition that'll cost me $1,000 every summer.
Certainly.
But, you know, it's
better,
worth it.
Better read those spots, brother.
Yeah.
Keep getting those spots.
But totally worth it. And I'll do it again.
Hey, you're back. A couple things to get into on the show today. We will obviously talk about the Commanders' first preseason game, how Carson Wentz did, Antonio Gibson, and more. Juan Soto came back to D.C. as a San Diego Padre. We haven't had you on. You still have your Washington Nationals hat. Hold on. Oh, you might have a reveal later in the show.
He's got new gear.
You're doing it now?
Hold on. Is that a newbie, or was that in the back of your closet?
I ordered it the moment the trade went through. Now, I'm not rescinding my Nats fandom.
Right.
But I'm just repping Juan, and, you know, I'm a fan of everybody now.
Second longest on-base streak in Major League Baseball is Juan Soto. 19 straight games he's reached base. I mean, that includes walks, because he gets walked all the time. Right. But Padres take 2 out of 3, gets a nice ovation.
I'd love to adopt the Padres, but they're on the West Coast, Cakes. I mean, when they play here, you can follow them.
I'm sure you're going to stay up late and watch Padres-Giants games.
It's not going
to
happen.
A lot to get into. Plus, we've got John Keim covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. He'll jump on at 7. Logan Paulson, former Redskins tight end, covers the Commanders. He'll jump on at 9. That's all right here on the Junkies.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. You can check us out on NBC Sports Washington. Want to give us a call? You can always hit us up on the MGM National Harbor listener lines at 800-636-1067. You can text The Fan on the Thompson Creek Windows text machine. Same number, standard message and data charges may apply. You can always tweet us at Junks Radio. September 9th, not that far away. That is when we're holding our Junkies Poker Open.
Yep.
Back at MGM National Harbor after an extended hiatus. JPO 2022 presented by our friends at Potomac Metals. You've tried the rest, now scrap with the best. Live long and scrap on. I was talking to some buddies this weekend. You don't have to sign up in advance anymore. No pre-registration. You show up, we're going to do the party at the sports book the night before, 7 o'clock, you join us, you hang out. You can register that day.
Yes, that's correct.
In the poker room or on Friday morning. And then we've got the tournament Friday morning. It kicks off at 11.
Correct.
So we are actually going to have a little break after the show. Get over to the Grand Ballroom, poker room, and then shuffle up and deal at 11 o'clock. Somebody's going to win a lot of cash.
Do we still have the room rates? Are they still available, or are they
all
booked?
I think so.
We tweeted that out a few days ago. I'm not sure how many, if any, still remain, but you can go to Junks Radio on Twitter, and there's a link.
I would highly recommend coming to the pre-party on that Thursday night and registering then, because I can guarantee you Friday will be there'll be a line. It'll be a big-ass line.
And the event will get to capacity.
Yeah.
We can basically guarantee that
I would think,
after the hiatus.
I would think.
Yeah. Poker is thriving. Live poker is still alive, still doing well, still doing big numbers, and we're expecting big numbers at JPO. We just are.
Yeah, one of my buddies who's planning to play, he actually was kind of like an EB back in the day when he'd play like 12 tables, 15 tables.
14 was
now, he was doing this in Italy, and he started his own poker room. I didn't know this. He started like his own poker club. Like, he brought basically live poker
to Italy and was housing people, I guess, online. And I was like, dude, you got to play. He was like, well, how many players? 700. I was like, prove that you're good.
Sure.
So I got a lot of players to navigate through.
So is he going
to
fly in from Italy?
No, he lives here now.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
He came over for graduate school.
Gotcha.
But
yeah, get him. I would think all the poker guys who with all the home poker games, that Ashburn crew, that Waldorf crew,
all
I think they'd all be there.
You're
and then the
welcome.
Other thing is, they're actually advertising over at MGM, right? They've got that big poster.
I think signs throughout the casino.
Yeah, they're going to have a ton of people.
Yes. And we're going to have to get together again at the sports book. It's an awesome NFL season opener. So join us at 7 o'clock. There's some people who say they don't want to play in poker. I was like, just come out and meet us because we just haven't done many appearances. I mean, when's the last time you did an appearance? 3 years ago?
I don't know.
It's been a long time since we've been out and about. So it's good to mix it up with our listeners. All right, so let's get into the preseason. You had the first preseason action for the Commanders. Our Commanders training camp coverage brought to you by Paul Henry's Windows. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. Offense looked okay. They didn't put up a ton of points. Carson looked okay.
I thought he looked pretty good. To be honest with you, I thought it looked pretty good.
It's mostly short passes.
Especially with all of the Carson Wentz hate in the offseason. It's great. Keep hating. Keep saying he sucks. Keep saying he's terrible. And this is his last opportunity. He'll never be in the league again. Because all that's doing is just lowering the bar, right? And he came out there. It's 10 for 13. Missed on a couple throws. No question about it. He threw a hospital ball at a guy over the middle. Can't remember who it was. He almost got killed.
I think that was to one of the tight ends.
But for the most part.
He loves throwing to tight ends.
Loves tight ends.
But he also likes to take shots.
Right.
So, and I thought it was great play, the throw to, was it him that had the throw to McKissick? I think it was, that sustained that drive. And McKissick is just, I want to marry the guy.
That's just what McKissick does.
That's just what he does.
I mean, he's a third down killer is what he does.
And they didn't even get Dotson involved. I mean, everybody else was involved. Dotson didn't even get targeted. Yeah.
That was kind of weird. But.
So I thought Carson was more than good enough, and I think he's going to be fine this season. I'm not worried about the offense. If I was Antonio Gibson, I'd be a little worried.
Oh, you certainly have to be worried.
I'd be a little worried.
I mean, if you're fumbling in the first quarter of the first preseason game,
and that's your big issue?
Right, the rap on you coming in is that ball security is an issue, and then Ron goes on to laud the guy who came in and actually did work in Brian Robinson.
Well, and they featured him.
And he also said that he doesn't like the way that Gibby, like stutter steps and pitter pat. Like, he wants him to hit the hole and go.
Because he's not a natural back.
Right.
Even though it's his third year or whatever it is, he's not a natural back.
I am a Gibby truther. I have been there since day one. I just love the...
You love him.
I love the versatility. And you can't argue with some of his production. I mean, the guy scored 21 touchdowns in his first two NFL seasons. The guy has a nose for the end zone. But if Brian Robinson is running harder and better...
And catches the ball?
Ron is no longer in the, well, this let's see if this experiment with Gibby works out. He's in year three where he needs sure things. And if he thinks Brian Robinson is a better runner and a better fit, it's really going to cut into Gibby's workload this
You can't
season.
Have a guy fumbling. That's been the rap, and supposedly he worked on it in the offseason. He worked on it with like a weighted football.
Yeah, but here's the thing. That fumble, it wasn't like it. It was when he was going down. It was like a few inches from the ground. You know, he doesn't have the reps as a back throughout his lifetime where he's experienced all these things. I almost feel sorry for him because he's, even though it's his third year in the league, he's learning on the job. He doesn't have, presumably, high school reps, college reps. You know what I mean? He played receiver.
Well, you can still fumble the ball as a receiver, but you're right. Not as often as a running back.
Not the carries. You're not used to guys punching the ball out when you're an inch from the ground.
Fans have, they're fed up. We put this up as the Junkies poll of the day presented by Van Meter Homes. With all the fumbling issues, should Commanders running back Antonio Gibson remain the number one back? You can still vote at Junks Radio on Twitter, but 68% were like, no, ready to move on.
Well, I was ready to move
from
on from
Antonio
him last
Gibson.
Year. I was ready to move on from him last year.
And by the way, Brian Robinson, you know what he doesn't do? He doesn't fumble.
Right.
Didn't fumble the entire time he was at Alabama. Didn't fumble.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And he had a lot. Now, he wasn't, you know,
like he wasn't
getting,
featured
he wasn't
last
getting
year.
Derrick Henry like workloads, but I mean, in his last season in Alabama, he had 271 carries.
Yeah.
Didn't fumble. Not once.
He's just a natural running back.
Right.
And he can do it all.
If Ron wants a guy that's going to hold on to the ball, it's Brian Robinson. So, yeah. I mean, and I like what the Commanders are doing in that they know they're not going to pay Antonio Gibson down the line. Like, he's gonna come looking for a contract in a year or two, and they're going to say, well, we have Brian Robinson, and he's making basically close to not league minimum, but I mean, he's making third round pick.
Who's
money.
On a rookie deal?
Yeah, so that's smart. I think every team should be doing that, unless you're even if you're in love with your running back, you got to have another guy who's ready to take over. If that guy
struggles,
hits the wall, or is asking for too much money.
I was just a little bit surprised when they put out that preliminary depth chart, which I wouldn't read too much into, but I noticed that Jared Patterson was like fifth or sixth on that.
Way down the list.
I was like, wow, who's this Jonathan Williams guy? And then they gave him the ball in short yardage a couple times, or at least once, and I just saw the way that guy just moved his feet. And like when he hit the pile, he kept moving his feet.
Yeah.
I was like, and he's a big load.
Mm-hmm.
If I was Jared Patterson, I'd be a little nervous.
Certainly.
I think that guy's a player. I don't know where he came from.
Yeah.
But that guy's a player, Jonathan Williams.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. You can call us on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Your first impressions of the Commanders. I did think, though, Wentz, nothing spectacular, but he looked comfortable. They did some rollouts. He had a really nice kind of like out pattern to Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, he zipped that ball in. That's just something that Taylor Heineke couldn't do in a billion years.
Yeah. No.
He could do it, but it's not going to look the way it
did. Yeah. I mean, Heineke does throw out patterns.
but not great. Not great. He gets it
correct.
He gets it there. And I did think Taylor's arm actually looked a little stronger, to be honest with you. And I'd heard that he worked on it. He was really trying to get his legs in it this offseason, whatever. I thought it looked a little stronger. And he's a nice change of pace guy. But Carson's clearly the guy. We can talk about Howell if you want, but that's not really going to be a factor this year. The other thing that jumped out at me offensively, before we get to the defense, which is a whole other issue, it's great to see Curtis Samuel out there making some plays.
Definitely.
It was great to see him. I'm okay. I'm on board with their plan. You know what their plan is? Let's just let him practice every other day. Let's not overwork him in the preseason. Let's just make sure he's ready.
I'm cool with that.
Week one, and it seems to be working. I'm all about it.
If your plan gets Curtis Samuel on the field for real games for like 14 or 15 of them, then I'm all about the plan.
Yeah.
If that plan works.
Well, they obviously feel comfortable if they're playing him in the meaningless first preseason game.
Right.
If he was sort of like right on the borderline of not playing, they're not going to mess around and play him in that preseason game.
Certainly not.
Because it's totally meaningless. But they got him some reps. I think that quiets down the media a little bit. And I
two very short catches.
That's fine, but he was out there.
Yes.
He was making plays. And I thought he was an important part of it. He was in motion all the time. He's clearly going to be a big part of that offense if he's healthy. I thought that was a great
sign.
And
one of those catches was for a first down. That's kind of been what he does throughout his career. He picks up first downs a lot.
Right. Now, defensively, I'm telling you, this is going to be the issue. It's been my mantra the entire offseason. What did they do to improve the defense? All they did, as far as I could tell, is they drafted a few guys, and they lost Landon Collins. They're basically bringing the same guys back. There's not a lot of depth there. Still, I'm still waiting for Jamin Davis to make some plays. Who knows if Cole Holcomb can really, be a full-time, legit middle linebacker. I don't know. I'm not sold on the defense. I think
you
that's going to hold us back.
You can look for Jamin Davis to make plays, and you just keep looking.
because you keep looking on the box score for him. You keep looking.
Correct. When I watch their preseason games or their regular season games, if I'm looking for Jamin Davis, I don't ever see him do anything.
It's rare. It's very rare. And I want to tell you.
I don't know his snap count. I know that last week when we were talking to some of the beat reporters, they were saying that at least in camp, he wasn't running with the first, or he wasn't running with the first team on first and second down.
Yeah.
So a lot of times on running situations, he's off the field.
Yeah.
You drafted a first round pick to be a third down linebacker.
They botched that pick. They're just trying to salvage it at this point.
Yeah, they're trying to figure out some way to utilize him.
That pick was a miss, but they're trying to salvage it. Hopefully they can. But I thought overall offense is going to be fine. I don't think it's going to be top five or anything, but I think it's going to be fine. The defense is where I'm concerned. I don't think there's any hint of Chase coming back anytime soon.
No,
but the defense wasn't bad. I mean, in terms of first team, Baker moved the ball, but they didn't score a touchdown. Then Darnold came in through a touchdown pass. It's not like they were getting lit up.
Well, I thought they were pretty much moving the ball at will at times on us. Long, sustained drives. They were moving the ball at will on us. I thought that was a fairly putrid defensive effort, and I was not surprised.
You weren't encouraged by the pass breakup of William Jackson III and Bobby McCain?
I mean, that was one nice play.
It's a pretty good play.
That was a nice play, but I mean, I was not encouraged by them just running, you know, right through the defense. I mean, it looked like the same sort of boring defense. Now, I know it's preseason. It's vanilla. Nobody's game planning. They're not really going to blitz anybody or anything, but I'm concerned about the defense. We had whatever it was ranked last year, 28th ranked, even whatever it was, and we didn't do much to improve it. We kept the same defensive coordinator. We got the same personnel. We haven't changed it.
Ron came on the show and said they're going to be better because it's year three.
Okay. All right.
That's basically what he said.
I hope so.
Well, if Trevor Lawrence launches a 50-yarder to Christian Kirk on the first series on September 11th, you're going to be worried.
Yeah.
If he gets behind the defense and gets behind that secondary, you're going to have concerns.
All right, let's bang out some of these calls. 800-636-1067. Let's go to Earl in Laurel. Earl, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, fellas? Thank you for taking my call. Yep. Welcome back, EB. I'm glad you had a good time in your vacation.
Thank you, brother.
I'm very disappointed. I'm usually a very confident Washington fan. You guys know that. Very disappointing. By Saturday, 3-0 in the first possession. The defense is just pathetic. Wow. It reminded me of the Charger game opening day. I was looking at opening day from last year. I mean, I know it's preseason, man, but damn.
One thing Doc kept saying in the telecast, and I thought it was fair, was that when you have no scrimmages, right, and you're just hitting each other, you kind of expect them to be a little shell-shocked in that first quarter.
Right.
And I thought they were. But I thought as the game progressed, they got better. I couldn't believe, even though I know Ron said earlier in the week, because I was monitoring it all, that they were going to play, the first team was going to play 15 to 20 snaps, which was shocking to me. But they needed every one of them.
Oh, absolutely.
And I was so glad that they came out for that third series where they finally did go down there and score.
Especially because you only have three preseason games.
Yeah.
This is one of three.
Yeah, yeah.
They're already 33%
done. But I wasn't disappointed. In fact, I was highly entertained during the game, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Doc Walker's a trip, boy.
he was a nut. He was wild.
The defense is made office. I ain't worried about the office too much. I mean, please get Antonio Gibson out of there, but I'm worried about the defense, man. The defense is just.
Yep, I'm with you.
It scares me to death. But thanks to the young brothers,
The problem is, this is supposed to be a defensive centric team. And if the defense is struggling, then you got some real issues.
I'm not sure you can say that anymore.
I've been saying that for years. You can't have a defensive-centric team in the NFL in 2022 and expect to contend for the playoffs.
I know that's been sort of how they've been built, but you're paying $28 million to your quarterback now. You brought in Curtis Samuel.
Right.
You drafted Jahan Dotson.
You know what it's time for? It's time for some 35 to 28 shootouts.
Yeah.
That's what it's time for.
Well, we're going to give up 28.
Well, then buckle up because it's going to be a fun ride.
Right. All right, 800-636-1067. If people want to chime in, I see Valdez over there waving his hands. Got to go to break. I know we're going to get into the sports page. If people still want to chime in on the Commanders, they can do that. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan, talking about the Commanders' first preseason game. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. You can call us on the MGM National Harbor listener line. Let's go to Mark in Largo on line one.
Mark?
Hey, buddy. Hey, guys. How you doing? Welcome back, EB.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Hey, what's up? Look, I just want to say, since I've been the president of Sam Howell Band Club for the last, I don't know, since they drafted him, He did okay, but he clearly took the number two position, unlike, you know, because if you saw one thing.
I don't
thing,
think so. He was great, but I don't think he's going to be number three all year long.
EB, let me ask you something. Yeah. Let me ask you something, EB. When you saw Taylor Heinicke do what he did on Saturday, when he went back and every time he gets in trouble, he just lost the ball up and he throws an interception, don't you think that gave Scott Turner heartburn?
I thought most of those plays were fine. The interception was rough, but I thought most of those plays were fine. He actually was fun to watch.
But see, it's the same thing we've been seeing for the past year. That play that Sam Howell threw to McEwen, that pass, that rocket he threw to him, man, they got everybody juiced up. Look, let me say this, man. This kid would have went number one overall if he was 2 inches taller. I've said this repeatedly for the last few months.
They were saying that he's like 5'10".
I'm not saying he's going to take Wentz's spot. Yeah. What I'm saying is, if something ever happens to Wentz, they can feel comfortable going with Howell. Yeah, they may go with Taylor to finish the game, but I think Scott Turner is going to go with Howell overall. And as far as Antonio Gibson is concerned, if I was Washington, I may try to move him to get a linebacker.
Yeah, but you're trying to trade one unwanted position for another unwanted position in the league. Like, people kind of sleep on running backs. They're devalued, as are inside linebackers. Like, what would you get for Antonio Gibson at this point?
Would you get a starting backer? I mean, like you said, he's had 21 touchdowns, Gates.
And again, like, this phone call just shows why everybody overreacts to preseason football. Like, Sam Howell looked good. Let's not get crazy. Taylor Heinicke has basically an entire year of starting under his belt. They're not going to throw Sam Howell to the fire. He's a developmental guy.
Here's how they would maybe. If Wentz goes down and they're 3-9, the season's over.
Okay.
Again, Heinicke plays a little bit and they go, you know what? Let's see what the kid can do. But if this season has any relevancy at all, and Wentz goes down, they're going to Taylor.
Of course.
They're just going to Taylor.
Then if he struggles, then you go to Howell. But it's not like he just leapfrogs him in the hierarchy because he had a decent half of preseason football.
Now, all that being said, go to my quarterback ratings.
Right.
I loved Sam Howell I loved him.
You had a borderline chubber for Sam Howell.
Was he my highest rated guy? Highest rated or second highest rated guy.
Consult your scores.
Still, he's not the guy this year. This is Carson Wentz's football team.
And Carson looked comfortable.
We'll talk to John Keim about it coming up
at 7 o'clock, Commanders Insider. But there's no reason to start a Howell versus Carson Wentz thing. Maybe for Heinicke, like if for whatever reason, he's not expensive, Heinicke, but if you wanted to save on cap and whack him.
No, you're not going to whack Heinicke. He's like $1 million. I mean, they're paying him nothing.
In the first preseason game, it almost looked like, and look, I don't think the coaching staff should ever take cues from the media or, you know, reports, but the whole thing about Carson Wentz in Indy was, won't take the layups. He'll never take the layups.
There's a lot of layups.
This looked like, okay, we're going to shove it on you. We're going to give him mostly layups, a few deep shots. He was fine with the layups, at least in this game.
Yep. Yeah.
Like the short stuff, he was good with.
He was accurate. I'm not going to slander Sam Howell. I like him. His time isn't now.
Correct.
This is Carson Wentz's football team until he throws up all over himself.
Now, if the Commanders, you know, struck gold with fifth-round quarterback and Sam Howell ultimately becomes the starter, I don't know, 2 or 3 years down the road, good for them. Good scouting, and they found a guy that tumbled into the fifth round. But let's pump the brakes on that because that's not happening yet.
We'll get back into the Commanders coming up at 7 o'clock with John Keim from ESPN.com. Right now, though, let's open up the Junkie Sports page brought to you by Impress Technology, an SBA-certified hub zone solution provider and Dell Federal partner. EB's unveiled the San Diego Padres lid.
By the way, they're the worst colors. I mean, they match nothing. They're so gross.
You still have your Padres jacket, though, right?
I used to have
a Padres jacket.
I got rid of it years ago.
The weird thing about those colors is I do not like them for the Padres, but weirdly, the Wyoming Cowboys have the same exact color palette, and I kind of like it, but it doesn't work for me for a baseball team.
I bought this thing, and it's gross. I wore it for a day at my house. Right. I was like, man, these colors are brutal.
They're not great.
But I remember I said, if they trade Soto, wherever they trade him, I'm wearing their hat the rest of the way.
The one thing that they do have that I will give them credit for, they are distinctive. Those colors are, nobody else is copying them.
Are you feeling them?
They are distinctive.
Well, UPS.
They're ugly. When you first put it on, I was digging it.
Yeah, but now?
I'm just tired of the Nats hat. Everybody wears red.
Yeah.
So I think it looks pretty good. I'm in disagreement.
You actually like it?
I do like it.
Well, Soto returns.
Maybe it'll be my new thing.
And maybe it was expected. He did get a good ovation.
Of course.
And here comes Juan Soto. Welcome back to D.C.
So the Padres.
I can just hear Valdez's inner dialogue going, look at all those soft fans booing him.
I know you guys all dissected this, but I was away. We can get rid of this whole narrative that Juan Soto was desperate to get out of here. What we've learned since the trade, first of all, he had just bought a home here. You guys saw that, right? In January or so. Just bought a home. When they told him he was being traded, he cried. If this was up to Juan Soto, that's why I think he got the great reception. I think fans generally know. Juan Soto wasn't desperate to leave here. This was driven by Boris, who is hell-bent on giving him the biggest deal in history. And Juan, frankly, in my opinion, was a pawn in this whole deal.
Yeah, but ultimately, he does employ Scott Boris.
He does.
So he had to know that this was in the game plan.
I think he had to know that this was possible, but I believe him when he said he cried, and it was kind of shocking when it ultimately did happen.
Right.
And well, I don't think he was hell-bent on leaving.
It's been his only organization since he...
Yeah.
Since he came here.
Yeah.
Which is, he's very young, but that's still 6 or 7 years he's been in the Nationals organization.
I blame Boris, not blaming Juan. I have no hostility
towards Juan. By and large, that's how the fans responded.
Yep.
You know, there might be some fans that resent, hey, he was offered $400 million and he said no.
Look, he's...
And there's also some that just resent the organization that they punted a player that still had 2.5 years left on his contract.
If I was Mike, I would have held out and hoped the new owner had the balls to get it done.
Right.
But he, you know.
It's the best package they could get. Ultimately, we'll see how all the prospects pan out they pan out.
Did I see that all of a sudden that like Baseball America or whoever does all the rankings shot them way up?
Of course. Yes.
Where did they?
I think they went up into the top 10.
We talked about it. They're in the top 10
now. In my opinion, though, I mean, they just got a bunch of, suspects.
Right.
I mean, truly. We'll see.
The
Maybe
pitcher,
a couple of them will pan
the pitcher
out.
Who's pitched a little bit in the majors, he's hurt right now. So they brought in a guy who's injured. He's supposed to be a stud, and a couple of these outfielders are supposed to be studs, and Abrams supposed to be a stud.
Yeah, but a lot of these guys are supposed to be studs.
Yeah. Time will tell.
You know who was a stud? Juan Soto.
I'll give you a couple studs in NFL preseason. How about Trey Lance? Limited work. I know Cakes is high on Trey Lance.
I know nothing.
Look, he was only 4 for 5, but he had a deep ball strike for a long touchdown.
Uh-huh.
He also had 1 run for 7 yards. It's not spectacular, but Trey Lance, in that limited window, they didn't have him throwing the layups. They had him throwing it deep.
7-6 yards.
No, I want to see that.
Bomb touchdown.
He's got a big arm. There's no doubt about it. Is it his, again, like Wentz, it's accuracy.
Well, that
accuracy with him.
The bomb was plenty accurate. I mean, it's right on the receiver's fingers as he's streaking down
the
sideline.
Meanwhile, on the other side, Jordan Love had a couple of touchdown passes, but also had 3 interceptions.
Now,
I saw
two of them. The first two, not really on him. I didn't see the third.
I actually saw
was on him.
LaFleur after the game kind of explicated him on all three.
Right.
He said two, I think maybe were kind of like drops or through the hands.
Yeah.
And one, the receivers ran the wrong route.
Right.
That's what he says, but that's still 3 interceptions on his line.
Ultimately, it doesn't matter. I mean, unless he gets injured, Aaron Rodgers is playing every single game.
Desmond Ridder. Did you see what he did?
I did.
Desmond Ridder, of course, Marcus Mariota is going to be the starter in Atlanta. But Ridder from Cincinnati had 2 touchdown passes, also ran for 59 yards.
That,
so he's a dual threat guy.
That caught my
You're
eyeballs.
Seeing that from a couple. I know Cakes is all fantasy, like because Malik Willis did that the other night against the Ravens, too. Now, he got slammed by his coach for being late and not throwing to open receivers. But Malik Willis had 107 yards passing and also had 38 yards rushing and a touchdown in limited work.
EB, I know you saw who Ridder threw the game-winning touchdown to in Atlanta.
Yeah, Jared Bernhardt.
That guy's a stud.
Wharton, winner 2 years ago for the University of Maryland lacrosse team, the best lacrosse player in the country, who then went, after he had a couple years earlier won a national championship in lacrosse, went over to Ferris State and won a national title as a quarterback in D2.
Nice.
Great athlete.
Yeah.
We have some guy who emails us all the time about Ferris State. I've never got it. I guess he's a Ferris State alum or tweets us all the time about
Ferris
State.
I think Ferris State is like, what is it, North Dakota State of
whatever
D2.
Division they're in? Okay.
Yeah.
Couldn't tell you what state it's in. I'd have a hard time doing that.
I don't know either. I want to say Ohio, but I'm sure that's wrong. I don't know.
You
where
might
the hell
be right.
It is.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
couldn't
know where
tell
it is.
You.
Coming up next, we'll get back to the Washington Commanders and their first preseason game. John Keim covers the Commanders for ESPN.com, and he'll join the Junkies next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.